your exclusive home for D-backs baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs deadline day.
Well, the deadline is here. Trades can still trickle in, but the deadline is officially hit in Major League Baseball. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin, Gambo's here for a little bit longer, too. Of course, Gambo's got his own show he's got to deal with coming up at 2 o'clock. But Gambo was able to break the Joaquin Soria to Toronto deal. And Gambo, you said it's for a player to be named later. That's
player to be named later. Okay. And I can tell you now that D-backs are finished. There will be no more trades trickling through. They are completed. Merrill Kelly will not be traded. No other players will be traded. So that was the one trade, Joaquin Soria for its player to be named later. The Diamondbacks are finished, Eric. So you're not going to, a lot of times you hear trades trickling through to in the 15 minutes afterwards. You will not hear that for the Diamondbacks. They are finished with the trade deadline.
So, I mean, big picture, relatively uneventful, but I think we knew that. I think you knew coming into this week. You were pretty comfortable assuming Eduardo Escobar was going to be dealt because there has been talk about that for weeks, and he's your all-star, and you don't need him right now. And then, as you said, Soria gets dealt to Toronto. You can usually move a guy, like a guy you bring in to essentially be your closer, but he's on what amounts to a one-year deal, and you're not making the playoffs. Why would you hold on to him? And you didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. His numbers aren't terrible, right? I mean, 4.30 ERA, but it's his pedigree over his years pitching that, you know, a team says, look, veteran reliever like that, that's had a lot of success in this league. I mean, here's a guy who, you know, at his best saved 43 games, and he's got 229 saves in his career. And so you look at a guy like that, if you're Toronto, for a player to be named later, okay. You know, we'll try to address our bullpen needs and try to help us for a player to be named later. So I mean, I understand that from Toronto's stake. They're a few games. When you look at the wild card standings, like, they are on the outside looking in. They're 4.5 games out of a wild card spot. So for them, it's like, okay, we'll take a chance to increase our bullpen. So maybe we can win a couple extra games and give us at least giving themselves a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're a few games above 500, like you said, fourth in that division, but not that far out of it, Toronto. So where does player to be named later fit in terms of TBA as the D-backs pitcher? Because he pitched like, I don't know, half the games earlier this season.
He pitched a lot of these games.
That's a lot of players to be named in TBAs.
Yeah, or how, you know, cash considerations with Torrey Craig.
That's true.
Cash considerations.
As long as they're considering them, that's all I care.
Yeah. Considering the cash.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know who the player is. I have no idea who the player is, but
it hasn't even been named yet. How could you know who he is?
No idea who it is. Sometimes they have an idea, and you know, a lot of times it's a player that was drafted, and you know, you have to wait a certain amount of time before you could actually name him. That's why sometimes it is player to be named, because you know who it is. You just got to wait a certain amount of time. But on this one, it just could be, I'll give you a list of five players that, you know, that will, okay, we'll take it. So for the Diamondbacks, no big deal. They'll have to fill that roster spot now. Humberto Castellanos could be a guy that they call up. We'll just keep our eye on that. He is on the 40-man roster, so we'll keep our eye on Castellanos and whether he comes up.
I want to go back to the story you had earlier today on Jordan Lawler officially signing with the team, and I'm just intrigued by how that sort of works as far as their timeline as an organization to try and get back into contention status. Is there a correlation there? I mean, with Lawler being your first-round pick, is the thought, okay, maybe he'll be ready in 2 or 3 years, and maybe we'll also be ready in 2 or 3 years? Is that the goal that do you think they're building around?
I don't know how long it takes for a 19-year-old kid who's only played in high school, Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas. I don't know how long it takes for a kid like that to be ready. Usually, you know, you work out in the low A's and you work your way up. Hopefully by that next year, maybe you can get to double A in the next year or two. And then from there, you're ready. It's not triple A anymore. It used to be, you got to get to triple A and you'd be ready. Now a lot of guys are ready in double A.
Yeah.
You know, so, a lot of your best prospects are in double A, not triple A. That's just the way it's gone. So, you know, he's probably 2 years away. You know, you get some development, you know, 2021, and then maybe by 22, he's up. Look, I remember seeing Doc Gooden pitch in the major leagues at 19 years old, but there's not a lot of 19-year-old kids that get to play in the major leagues. So it's just a rare thing. You would think he's got to get 2 years of seasoning in. They're going to need a replacement. Nick Ahmed is not the future shortstop for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and this kid is. This kid's the future of shortstop for the D-backs. But the future is probably, in my opinion, like 3 years away. I could see him not coming up next year or the year after, but possibly the year after that.
Are there guys, like we were talking about Bumgarner earlier, and you said, you know, he's probably not going to get dealt this year, but when you talk about how it might be easier to move him next year with Bumgarner,
yes,
do you mean at the trade deadline next year or like going into next season? Because it almost feels like trade deadline you might have if he pitches well next year in
no,
the first half.
No, because it's the same money. It's you still would owe 3 and 60. So, like, you know, what I was saying, he's got 3 years and $60 million left. If you trade him in the offseason,
yeah,
it's still you still got to pay him 3 years
yeah,
and 60.
Okay.
Now, if you get to this point next year, you'll have knocked off about $17 million off that contract.
That's more enticing.
Yes, yes. So now a team's not. I don't got to pay him for 3 years. I got to pay him for two and a quarter. So if you move him this time next year, I think he's got a $23 million salary next year. $17 million of that's gone. Roughly.
Yeah.
17. So now it's, you know, now for a team, that's okay. So now you're down to he's owed, instead of owing him 60, you owe him 43.
Yeah.
And you get him for two and a quarter season, maybe three playoff runs for $43 million. He's a much more attractive trade piece this time next year if he's pitching well. And it's a lot easier to trade him. And you could get value for him then too, because there's the money's a lot. Take $17 million off of 60. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's especially because at that point, that quarter of the season you're talking about is a playoff run. Presumably, it's for some team like whoever, the Yankees or whoever that is in a playoff spot, and they're going out there and adding an arm like that. So it makes sense through that lens why the D-backs didn't deal him today, because if you deal him today, you're dealing him just to get rid of him, whereas a year from now, you may actually get something in return
yes,
for him.
You would be able to get something in return for him with that, because that money will be little, and if he's pitching well, I think he's very tradable at that point.
One last one real quick. For Ketel Marte, who it was never really a thought that he was going to get moved, but maybe he's a little less untouchable now than he was a year ago. What is the long-term plan for him? Is it still to be in Arizona, or is he a
yes.
piece they look at and say that he could get us the biggest return?
I'm telling you, they didn't want to trade him.
Okay.
They wanted to hold on to him. They want to field the team next year, you know? So they a lot of this year is, look, not to say that they would have been contenders for a wild card spot, but they've never been hit with injuries like they have this year. This is the most injuries a Diamondback team has ever faced, what they faced this year. And the depth guys just weren't able to come in and play well. And a lot of the young guys have gotten opportunities, and that will benefit them for the future. But if they hang on to Zach Gallen, they hung on to Zach Gallen and Carson Kelly and Ketel Marte, and they'll be a part of what they do next year to field a much more competitive team than what they've had this year.
Okay, there you go. Well, you heard Gambo say it too. They are done. The trade deadline has passed. The D-backs are not making any more moves. Their one move today is Joaquin Soria to Toronto for a player to be named later when we come
but
back.
But it was a very active trade deadline, and the hilarious thing, the Cubs play the Nationals today. And so, neither team has anybody left in their roster.
Just a bunch of prospects and players to be named later. We'll come back with Social Studies with Sarah Cazell next. It is the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
All right, it's time for Social Studies. Technically, it's not time. It's late. We're late. I'm sorry.
The trade deadline seems to be a touch more important.
I feel like I showed up to Social Studies class in school late often anyway, so this kind of just falls right in line with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
What right. a wild... I mean, it's sort of like when there's a great NBA playoffs for the last 10 years, and you're a Suns fan.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that was fun, I guess. I wish we were a part of it.
It really is.
Like, but a lot of big names over the last 2 days.
Yes.
Feels like there was a party going on across the street, is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's
just
a trade
deadline. Yeah.
Well, they probably don't see it as a party, but the rest of us do.
No, but at least they can talk about, like, hey, look at the prospects we got. And we can talk about a guy that doesn't have a name.
Literally hasn't even been named.
I feel bad. A player without a name. It's like when they, you know, the Cardinals have a player who didn't dress the whole season.
Yes.
For God's sakes, get the guy some clothes.
Much more awkward. All right, Sarah, what do you got for us for Social Studies?
Yes, welcome into Social Studies, everybody. Do follow us on Twitter at Bickley_Murata, please and thank you. That is where Jarrett's good and bad questions go up every single day. Let's start with the news coming down last night that Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Lakers. So the immediate thought for a lot of Suns fans was, okay, Chris Paul, not going to the Lakers. We are asking, what was your biggest takeaway from that trade? Two options here, but if there's another one, go ahead and throw that in there as well. The two options are boo, Westbrook to the Lakers. That now makes them a favorite in the West. Or yay, Chris Paul is not going to the Lakers. He's staying with Phoenix.
My reaction probably was the third one, so I already apologize. But you didn't write the question, so actually I retract that apology. Jarrett wrote it.
What third one?
My reaction really had nothing to do with Chris Paul because I didn't think he was going to the Lakers anyway. It was more the Lakers got better, so that sucks. But they're not the favorites.
So that would be like the first one.
They're not the favorites in the West.
Okay, they got better, but they're still not the favorites.
So who's the favorites then?
Okay, yeah.
Chacho?
I would say the Suns right now.
So you think the Suns are the favorites going in the next season?
They will not be favored nationally. You heard Kendrick Perkins
say
he was...
But in your opinion, they are the favorites.
At this exact moment, if Chris Paul comes back, yes. What if they lost?
Okay.
And Utah should probably be right up there, too. The Lakers aren't even going to try in the regular season.
That's true. We've seen that.
So it just comes down to if Anthony Davis is healthy next late April, honestly. That's it. What's your answer, Jarrett, to your own question?
Yeah, Jarrett.
Yeah, mine was more so boo. If I had to pick one of the two, it was boo.
But you don't pick one of the two? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the poll is beautiful because you have to pick one of the two.
Okay. Well, I don't think the Lakers are the favorites, so I guess I'm the other one.
Okay. 78% said yay. Chris Paul is staying with the Suns now. Okay. 22% said boo. The Lakers are now the favorites in the West. Artur Abramyan said the Suns saw shot at a championship and a gif of a man sadly looking out of a window, just mourning the loss of what could have been. Griff Dale says he thinks the Lakers got worse. Russ is the most ball dominant player in the game. Why would you want that if you've already got LeBron and Anthony Davis? Trent Skousen says I'm picking yay. The Lakers just shot themselves in the foot. And then Ryan Guard says, well, he wrote 83%, but now it's 78% of you who said, yay, Chris Paul is staying. He said, that group, you are liars and you should be scared of the Lakers like me.
And then he got a lot of angry responses.
He did.
That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah, exactly. What else for faux outrage?
I do think it makes him better. Jarrett and I were talking about this earlier. It almost seems trendy now to just say, oh, Westbrook sucks. Westbrook might be overrated. He's not a bad player. They got better. He's better than Kyle Kuzma and whatever else they traded.
I mean,
KCP.
He was in the playoffs last year with a Washington team that had Bradley Beal and nothing else on that team.
I will say this. I still think the Suns beat the Lakers if he had been on Westbrook, or Westbrook had been on the team last year. But when there was those stretches where the Lakers couldn't score for like 8 minutes at a time, he would have scored.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's stick with the NBA and the NBA draft specifically. The draftees always show out in how they dress. We saw a lot of sparkly suits. We saw some flare leg suits. We saw a lot of wild stuff. So I cannot wait to hear how Jarrett answers this question.
Can't wait to hear how Luke answers this question.
You've
the two most opposite wardrobes I've ever encountered. The question is, what is the most elaborate, flamboyant, eccentric piece of clothing or outfit that you own? Let's start with you, Luke.
I have that really bright all silver suit that I think you've probably both seen me in it. Sarah took
on
pictures
on like draft day.
Yeah,
Coyotes draft day.
We Jarrett and I had that set up for that side project we were going to work on. So I wore it to that.
Wait, we forgot to do our podcast again.
Forgot to do our podcast,
man.
And then the other one though, and I wore this for one of the roasts. Admittedly, I bought this online during the middle of the pandemic and didn't think it was going to be quite as flashy as it was. So I wore it when we did the roast of LA. It's a black shirt, like a dress, but it like glows. Like there's like all these things
on
it.
Sheen on it.
It's not just sheen. Like I thought it was like, oh, there's going to be like a little bit of a silver shine. I don't mind a shine. This like you can see it reflects. It's like a disco ball.
What?
Yeah. I should have worn it today.
You should have worn it today.
Yeah. It doesn't show up in a photo. You got to see it in person.
Wear it to Cardinals on Monday.
Yeah. That's a good place to break that out.
And for those who don't see Luke 5 days a week like those of us do, wears black almost all the time. And if it's not black,
it's gray
or it's like a deep, deep, deep burgundy.
There's a little bit of gold on my black shoes now. But the shirt
his
and the pants
are actually... You have very colorful sneakers.
I do have colorful sneakers.
Yes.
Jarrett, on the other hand, only wears color, only wears pattern, oftentimes clashing pattern, in my humble opinion. Mm. What is the most flamboyant or eccentric piece of clothing that you have?
Well, I have, you guys have maybe seen, I have a pair of dress shoes that are sequined in...
I love them!
No, I haven't seen those.
Gold and navy blue that I've often wear.
Where do you buy your clothes?
I genuinely love those shoes.
Those I got at Dillard's Outlet. Tipped off to me by one Vince Murata, who sent me a picture of them and said, these have your name on them.
I wonder why they were at the outlet.
Can you believe
it? Okay, but they're incredible shoes.
That they were $30 on sale from $200.
You really? Yes, I can. I can't believe the second part where they were originally $200.
I have several also blazers, like sport coats, that are very elaborate, like very like crazy pattern. One is like neon orange and black and red. One of them is powder blue and purple. The problem is it's almost always too hot to ever wear. So I usually wear them to the Christmas parties and that's about it.
I did. Did you wear one last time we had a Christmas party like 7 years ago?
Yes,
so we were allowed to gather?
Back when there used to be a Christmas.
You do have the market cornered because like you know how like if you're just going out to buy a t-shirt and you're like a men's large and that's the size they're always out of because everybody's a men's large. Jarrett buys the clothes that nobody else in the world will buy, so you can get whatever you want whenever you want it.
I will say all the clothes that I like are either extraordinarily on sale or in thrift stores, or they're like $300 for like a shirt.
Yeah. Just wait like a month.
It's only eccentric millionaires or hobos that dress the way I do.
On that note, let's get to some of our listener submissions. RC is going crazy. RC has a button down with crabs on it. Thank you, RC. Daryl Lee says he has a bright neon orange Suns hat. Not very exciting, but that's the most flamboyant thing in his wardrobe.
Fair.
We've got some cool cartoon socks from Stephen F., some Hey Arnold socks, and Ren and Stimpy socks that he'll wear when he dresses up. And then hands down the best submission of all time from JJ Samsonite. She says, as a child, I used to dress like Jarrett. And shared a photo of her in a clown costume.
With the wig,
complete
too.
With the face paint and everything.
The hair looks a lot like your hair did over the last year.
It actually does. It takes the same shape.
That is fair.
Where it goes like flat in the middle and sticks on the sides. This is amazing.
Fair enough.
Okay.
It's the best tweet I think we've ever received in social media.
All right. I'll retweet that one.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's from JJ Samsonite. Okay.
Real quick on the last one.
Yes, quickly. Who's currently the best quarterback? The Madden ratings came out today, I think, for quarterbacks. Mm. Dak Prescott ranked 8th, Ryan Tannehill 9th, Matt Ryan 10th. Kyler Murray did not crack the top 10. So of those four guys, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, who is currently the best quarterback?
Yeah, I don't have to hesitate. If you're asking me which quarterback I went for this year, Kyler Murray. And if I had to pick a different one, I guess Dak Prescott.
Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I also say Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that he wasn't ahead of any of those three.
I can't believe he's not in the top 10 again, but whatever.
Okay. 55% went with Kyler Murray, no surprise. 24% went with Dak Prescott. 12% Ryan Tannehill. Only 9% for Matt Ryan. And Mock My World update, about an hour left in voting, but I think we know who won this one. We were drafting the best NFL players right now. Don't look at me like that, Jarrett. I lose often
enough.
You
ran away with it, though.
I lose often enough that I get to celebrate my wins.
We can't believe you ran away with that. I thought this were even teams.
That's fair. Best NFL players right now, I have 62% of the vote with Patrick Mahomes, Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry, and Jalen Ramsey. It's close for second place. Right now, 14% have Luke, 13% have Zoe, 11% have Jarrett.
I can't tell if you just ran away with it because you have Mahomes, or you could make the case.
And Jalen Ramsey.
You could make the case that Adams is the best receiver, that Henry's the best running back, Mahomes is the best quarterback, and that Ramsey's the best corner. So you could make the case you have the best player at four positions.
Yeah, I think I do.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What do you get for winning again?
I get to pick fourth next week.
Awesome. I'll be here for that,
That's
too.
That's pretty much it. Cool.
Thank you, sir. I will say too quick on that Kyler Murray on who's the best quarterback. I think quarterback of the local team is the one position where everybody's not just going to pick the homer pick. You know what I mean? Like, that's the one where there could be backlash and be like, no, I'd rather have Prescott.
I disagree.
Really?
I think Kyler Murray gets the homer pick almost every time.
See, I remember when we used to have, ironically, like, we would run polls like 2 or 3 years ago, and it'd be like, would you rather have Devin Booker or so-and-so or so-and-so or Giannis? And Booker would have 100% of the vote.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think if you put Murray on there with Mahomes, Mahomes would have 100% of the vote. Like, I don't think anybody would get crazy for the quarterback.
Yeah, okay, but Mahomes was not 8th, 9th, or 10th in these ratings.
Yeah.
It's that next sector of NFL quarterback.
But I feel like the local quarterback gets more criticism than just, like, local star player on the basketball team.
Mm, you might be right.
Maybe. I don't know. But I know.
We
I got 14% in Mock My World. You got 7,800%. So... Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
I was just trying to keep talking to avoid what's coming up next. The Sports Kebab is up next. Bickley and Rada Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Day.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right. Today's poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com is who will be the better player for the Cardinals next season between Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons. Jarrett, you got a vote on this one?
You hope it's Isaiah Simmons, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll vote for that.
Unless Zaven Collins is just amazing in his rookie year, but yeah, you would hope, I mean... You actually invested a higher pick in Simmons last year. So, yeah, Simmons has 82% of the vote. Zaven Collins has 18% of the vote. So you can find that on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. And now, without further ado, it is time for the Sports Kebab.
Don't you have some dirty jokes to go tell?
It's sports news skewered.
Skewered.
The Sports Kebab.
All right, it is the Sports Kebab. Sports news skewered, and I'm really happy right now, guys.
Why is that?
Why?
I mean, it's not just because it's finally Friday, but what a week it's finally Friday. It's because I somehow wasn't pummeled to death by James Harrison yesterday, so I'm always counting my blessings that I made it through.
Well, you know why? Because you identified yourself as Jesse Morrison.
Yes, I did. Jesse Morrison did walk in a heap today.
More so than usual.
Right, but also, I'm excited. We mentioned this. I finally watched the big Space Jam 2 movie with LeBron and all the Looney Tunes characters.
Okay.
Either of you see that yet?
No, not yet.
No.
Actually, I shouldn't say all the characters in it because while the Roadrunner was in the film, there was an odd moment halfway through when the Coyote was traded by Bill Armstrong. Ah, yes, the Arizona Coyotes are in a bit of a, what would you say, Luke, rebuild?
Yes.
Rebuild right now after losing much of last year's roster from trade and free agency. And it's too bad because a lot of these players were key to the team the last years. And they were big acquisitions when they made them. Unfortunately, though, those signings aged worse than someone in an M. Night Shyamalan Beach movie. Beach movie. Now... I do give the franchise credit. They're trying to tear it down and build it up to really compete in the future, but I do not envy them right now. I haven't seen someone have to rebuild something after seeing it get totally wiped out like this since Noah. And at least Noah was left with two Coyotes at the time. That's a good joke, I know.
Yeah. But who wrote these for you today?
I had somebody, I had my intern take care of it today while I hosted. But there are some positives, as the Coyotes did take Shane Doan's son, Josh Doan, in this week's NHL draft. Think about that. How cool is that? How much that name means to the Valley, right? Mm-hmm. When you think of Doan in Phoenix, you think three things. You think leadership, you think loyalty, and you think spending May and June golfing because you don't have other plans.
Dang.
He's a great guy. Not a lot of playoff success here. But I'm rooting for the Coyotes because on paper it looks like a rough season, you know? Right now their roster is so thin and ugly.
How thin and ugly is it?
It just announced picks for the NBA draft. Did you see that?
Oh, gosh. I walked into that
really.
Oh, no.
Yes. NBA commissioner and deflated Shrek party balloon. Adam Silver. I should get Sarah should be on microphone for all these.
Sarah's
kebabs.
Laughs are the best.
Yeah, her and Vince. That'd be a hell of a.
Really, I should have a laugh off.
But yes, he was presiding. He ran the NBA draft yesterday. And the Suns actually made a draft day deal where they traded their first-round pick. But get this, they actually got a pretty good player in return in Landry Shamet. This is a sign to me that things are changing and a big improvement for draft day trades. You remember during the Steve Nash years when they, you know, made big draft day trades and they acquired everywhere from cash considerations to future cash considerations. They ran the gamut then. But the big move on draft day actually did not come in the draft, unfortunately. Rather, it came from when the Lakers traded with the Washington Wizards for Russell Westbrook, now giving them another star to pair with LeBron and Anthony Davis for like 30 or so games next season when they're all healthy. I mean,
yikes.
But really, think of that star power. Westbrook, LeBron, Anthony Davis. That is the highest scoring big three in L.A. since Kim, Courtney, and Chloe, I think.
Even Sarah's not laughing.
She's trying to be
women,
feminist.
Women, do what you want with your bodies.
I'm not shaming them or anything.
No, I just definitely said they were, not. Certainly not.
That wasn't the only blockbuster Washington-LA trade, though.
That's probably not his only joke that you're going to not laugh at now, too.
The Nationals traded Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the Dodgers. What the hell is going on here with this connection here? Washington hasn't had this big an impact on L.A. since Denzel.
Wow.
Denzel Washington is what I'm referring to there. The actor. Now the Nationals roster is in shambles. I mean, really, look at what's left right now. I haven't seen anything that disheveled since Aaron Rodgers walked into the Packers facility.
Oh, gosh.
Did you guys see Aaron Rodgers the other day?
Yes. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, a man bun, hipster glasses, flip-flops. He looked like someone who was about to go on Shark Tank to ask for money for his business making edible hacky sacks. Did you see, really, you saw a picture of him, right,
yeah,
Luke?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He looked like a guy who works at a yoga studio that doesn't have a license to sell liquor, but come in the back and I'll hook you up. Aaron Rodgers that day, he didn't look like the host of Jeopardy. He looked like a contestant on The Price is Right who hugs Drew Carey a little too hard. I mean, did you see Aaron Rodgers?
I did.
Yeah,
yes.
He looked like a California guy who went to school at Berkeley, complains about his job with quotes that aren't as deep as he thinks they are, and would rather take hikes in the wilderness with his hippie Hollywood girlfriend. Oh, wait, that is who he is, actually.
Oh!
What a surprise. But frankly, guys, I'm just glad to be able to host the show this week and do the sports kebab and get through it, because we had such a great run with the Suns for, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Where every day, every show, 4 hours, we talked about them nonstop. So somehow we got through the last week and all we had was the NBA draft, the NHL draft, the MLB trade deadline, and the Coyotes dismantling their team, the D-backs trading their best player, the Suns making a draft day trade, the Cardinals starting training camp, their best defensive player requesting a trade, their best new defensive player getting hurt, Arizona's biggest rivals in baseball and basketball making blockbuster trades, the Olympics free agency podcast interviews, disgruntled quarterbacks, injured quarterbacks, and two separate billionaires flying into outer space. I sure missed the Suns. I don't know how we got in.
Yeah,
nothing to talk about. Anyway, that is the sports of
nice
this week. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
I always wait for Sarah to jump in and like I don't know, interrupt you, just because I'm waiting for the there can only be one SK in this town. Technically, sports kebab versus Sarah Cazell.
Made that before. Or she's made that before.
I may have, and I just
what if she sued
it.
Me and I had to change? I had to like. Sports Kobob with a C, C-O or something. I had to change the name legally.
Don't think I won't.
Oh, nice. Cliffhanger for next week's kebab. Good stuff, Jarrett.
Thank you.
That was great.
We'll come back. We'll go off the grid to wrap up the show in the week. Next, it is the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the Day.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out far away. In the desert, you can remember your name.
This works on a lot of levels.
It does, multiple levels.
First of all, a couple behind-the-scenes things. I don't know how many times I've done this show, but every time Jared's like, hey, do you have any ideas for Song of the Day? It is always like the first time I've ever thought of it. Like, every time you ask me the question, I'm like, wow, Song of the Day, what's that? Every time.
It's a tradition on this show, though. It's not just you.
Yeah.
It's Bickley, it's Murata, it's myself.
But so then
142 is when we first conceptualized it.
But I didn't know what song you were going to play. I just said something about not having a name. I thought you were going to go with Goo Goo Dolls with, like, that one song from where he's like, I won't tell him your name.
Yeah.
I was glad you didn't go with DMX because we can't play What's My Name. But this is a good one because it brings up the desert, too.
And Gambo's favorite band
is America.
America. It is.
America.
So it's a three-pronged.
All right. Well, that is your song of the day because, of course, the D-backs traded Joaquin Soria for a player that doesn't have a name yet. He will be named later. It's time now for Off the Grid.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Yeah, before we get into some of the main stories from throughout the day, I want to throw this one at you, Jarrett. I don't know if you saw this. It popped up on Twitter. LA Times Sports. Just to sort of reiterate how ridiculous it is that we have to pretend that Landry Shamet is not on the Suns yet. And so when James Jones is on with Doug Wolf this morning, he has to talk like esoterically about the philosophy of adding a player like Landry Shamet. He can't just talk about his player. Or when Robert Sarver's on with Burns and Gambo, he can't talk about Chris Paul, who was on the Suns last year because it's somehow tampering with your own player. The headline from the LA Times is Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis chatted 2 weeks ago, and now the Lakers have a big three. I mean, which is fine, but then why do we have to pretend that the Suns can't talk to Chris Paul? If the Lakers can get together with Russell Westbrook and talk him into to that working out.
I don't. It's so confusing. It's like we always talk about the unwritten rules, how confusing. The written rules are so confusing.
Yeah.
About what's going to be enforced and when and why and who and why they even exist to begin with.
To be clear, I have no problem with Westbrook. I don't have any problem with three players talking and deciding they want to play together. But as a league, you're never going to be able to police that. So why are you telling teams that have, like, it's absurd to me that the Suns aren't allowed to talk about Chris Paul or talk to Chris Paul. He just led them to the NBA Finals, and he's almost certainly going to be back next year. So there you go. Anyway, Lakers do have their big three, and they are excited about it in L.A. I'm not quite as high on it as they are, but as we said earlier, Jarrett and I both think it's a bigger deal than just, oh, they got a player that's not any good or he's overrated. Like, well, Westbrook's a pretty good player. Okay, let's get into some of the other stories from throughout the day. DeAndre Hopkins was at Cardinals camp today. So that minor thing, as Cliff Kingsbury called it yesterday when D-Hop was out of camp yesterday, he's back. He's not any of the guys on the COVID protocol, COVID list or anything like that. He's Hopkins, good to go. The Phoenix Suns. That trade for Landry Shamet last night, it's not official yet. It will be soon with Brooklyn. And then Major League Baseball. Which one of these trades stood out the most to you, Jarrett? That Chris Bryant one right at the very end. That, I don't know why that one got me the most.
Well, you know why? Because we were expecting the Dodgers to go crazy.
Yeah.
And it kind of just sucked. But the Giants were already in. They have the best record in baseball. Totally unexpected.
Yes.
And we were sort of almost like applauding them. Like, first of all, like, they didn't do anything crazy this offseason. They don't have a lot of stars on their team. They even went through the trade deadline and they said, you know what, we're good enough, we're not going to be and then they traded for a superstar.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So now there's three teams clearly, like, I don't know the contract statuses of all these people that they've all made trades for. I think Scherzer's expiring. I think Trey Turner still has another year on his deal. But it's just like, if you're a Diamondbacks fan, you're so you knew you were behind the Dodgers, and all of a sudden, the Padres became a big market team all of a sudden. But like, if the Giants are now so far ahead of you on the curve, it's going to be it's going to be a tough few years.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chris Bryant one, too. I mean, like you said, we kind of expected the Giants to just sort of coast and be like, hey, we're playing with house money. Now they're sort of all in. I still haven't seen what they gave up. Have you?
They gave up. I mean, they gave up two prospects you never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, but they're not even like high end Giants.
They're good. Prospects. They're good. They're not. I think they're not top three. But
some of the other
ones. That's another organization like the Dodgers that always has great farm system.
Atlanta got Jorge Soler from Kansas City,
and Richard Rodriguez.
Yeah, Robles went to the Red Sox.
Is that his name, Richard? Two of my three closers in my fantasy team got traded.
That's not great.
They will probably not be closers.
They will
anymore.
Not be closing. No, that's good for you,
Brad Hand.
He might close.
He might,
or he might not.
No,
John Lester to the Cardinals. Freddie Galvis to the Phillies.
The Turner Scherzer deal is official.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but Bryant to San Francisco was the biggest one today. Javier Baez to the Mets.
Oh, that's a huge one, too, yeah.
Jose Berríos to the Blue Jays. So, I mean, he was, at least for a while there, he was considered one of the better young pitchers.
Least for a while, also on my fantasy team. Yeah. He was good this year.
Wow.
For a while.
So your whole fantasy team just switched teams, basically. I'm going to remind, even though we didn't read them, I'm going to remind people one last time to text thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. I don't know if those go directly to Jared or not, but you can text them to him about the kebab or some of the trades you saw today. And I'm still all in on that move by the Suns last night. But the Western Conference is going to get intense here over the next couple months. It always is in the NBA. And it's a different perspective when you're the team on top and everybody's chasing you. I like it. But now every move any other team in the West makes matters. All right, Jared, you got anything else before we wrap it up for the week?
Thank you to Gambo for coming in, breaking news mid-sentence, like you said.
That was solid. Haven't seen that before. Thanks to Sarah Cazell as well. For Jared Carlin, I'm Luke Lipinski. Burns and Gambo next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
But first, this. Certainly more famous than that loser, James Harrison.
Yeah, really.
I don't even remember that one.
The first person to ever call James Harrison a loser.
Right. You better watch out. James lives in Phoenix now.
Does he really?
Yes, he does. You saw that commercial?
Well, my name
don't
is...
Don't let him catch you on the lawn somewhere.
My name is Jesse Morrison.
One, two, three, four.
Don't waste all your best material this early in the show, Jared, because I want people to keep listening.
They say that two wrongs don't make a right, but three rights do make a left. Electric Boogalooser. Electric Boogalooser. Canoe?
The other event that kept being on yesterday was water polo.
I feel bad for those poor horses.
Ah, man!
You call that a celebration?
This is a celebration.
We're doing all right, okay.
Hey, guys. Such a proud father.
Kevin Durant.
France.
Paris, France.
Female beach volleyball.
Suns eliminated. Ball.
George Kliavkov.
George.
Kliavkov.
They live in the sideways house.
Yeah.
Coach Bood.
All right, hey, you call him.
How hot is
How
it?
How hot is it?
Everything sucks.
Yeah.
Cut cheese.
Cut cheese.
We're going to cut the cheese, guys.
This is like protect your nipples.
You're going to hurt your thing. At least it's only mine.
You're dancing like the horse.
Take that, Luke.
Okay.
Nothing dynamic about Luke's team. Or Luke. I've never had a bicep injury.
Yeah.
I've also never had a bicep.
I'm glad you jumped in just for that one.
Yes, thank you for confusing me.
Bye.
You can't leave me here with him.
Yes,
where are you
going? I'm about to do it.
It's ridiculous. Sarah's just out of here after that. I wish I could do that.